the most common thing that you're going to hear from people who have mental health conditions, and particularly those with the more severe long-term mental health conditions, are feelings of intense isolation, ostracization from local communities, feeling as if they are social outcasts. And a lot of those things are driven by the fact that there's still a considerable stigma, a great fear around mental illness.
Yes. And talking about stigma, and this is one thing that is actually making people not to come out and need support or get support. What do you think there is? Why do you think there's so much stigma associated with mental health condition, and how do we go about this?
I think there's a lack of understanding in many places, not just in South Sudan, not just in Africa, but globally, around the causes of mental illness. Mental illness is a health condition. The World Health Organization data says that the global disease burden is that one in four of the world's population will experience mental health problems at some point in their life. So it's very common. It's very real for many, many people. I think there needs to be significant access improvement for mental health services. There needs to be lots of awareness work. You can't just change people's beliefs within a day, within a week, within a month. It's something that needs intensive long-term work. Quite often you're dealing with significant traditional cultural constructions around what causes mental health problems, which are very different from the medical theories, the psychological theories as to the causes. And there needs to be a way of actually bringing together both the traditional explanation and the medical explanation to actually make mental health more understood, make it more accessible for people to be able to actually receive help.
Yeah.
And also, people's conditions will improve if they're not cast away from their own communities and from their own families. That only makes the condition worse.
All right, let's talk about, first, before we go into this, just tell us, what advice do you give people who are too embarrassed to actually go and look for support?
I think I would always encourage people to look for support. There's no shame in experiencing mental health problems. As I've said, there's a huge number of people globally who have experienced mental health problems at some point in their life. It doesn't make you a stupid person. It doesn't make you a weak person. And indeed, in a country like South Sudan, which has been ravaged by conflict, which has been ravaged by extreme violence, extreme poverty, of course there's going to be high incidence of mental health problems. It goes without saying that that will be the case. So I would always encourage people to seek help. If there's not a healthcare professional available, find somebody who you do trust, who you are able to talk to, who you are able to confide in. And of course that means that things like the UK aid supported mental health and psychosocial support, all of the other stuff that the colleague from the focus group who was on before me, there are people in the community you can go to. So seek them out and seek the help.
Talking about, you did mention about people should get help, and no matter what, we've seen here in South Sudan where people with mental health problems have actually been isolated. We've seen some taken even to prisons, and so they can be locked up and stay there. How do we go about issues of mental health, especially when someone becomes violent?
I think there are some conditions which do require a level of containment and treatment. Some more severe mental health problems like schizophrenia, the symptoms can manifest themselves in quite aggressive, violent behavior. But just chaining somebody to a tree, leaving them there until they're too weak to fight, isn't going to take away the underlying problem. There's a need for treatment. That takes the form of pharmacology, of medication, takes the form of counselling. It also takes the form of more socially based support as well. You will be less inclined to be violent and frustrated if you don't feel like a pariah and an outcast, mm-hmm. if you're actually feeling looked after and part of something.
Great. Let's talk about the role society and governments can play to eliminate not only stigma but mental health problems. What can the society and the government play?
I think society, community leaders have a very important role. If there's an inclusive feel within a society, again, if people are sort of looked after rather than cast away, then that's very important. Government should be supporting the population with a robust health service. And I think also you've got to think longer term when it comes to mental health. Mental health outcomes are worse in countries where there's no opportunity. For example, where there's no access to education, where there's no employment. Children feel they're missing out. They become frustrated. Youths who are not educated, who've not got any access to employment, feel frustrated. And youth can express themselves more likely through aggression, through being on the streets, by actually expressing their anger in very negative ways. So if you have opportunity, that's not going to take away every mental health problem. It's a sad fact of life that people will still suffer from mental illness, even in the most affluent societies, but to a much lesser extent than in a society where there's no opportunity for the vast majority of the population.
Let's look at the theme of this year, which talks about young people and mental health in a changing world. What is the link between young people and mental health?
Well, I think there's a false belief that children in particular are perhaps too young to understand what's happening around them and not really environmentally aware. That's clearly a myth. And so the effect of the conflict and the instability here in South Sudan, the effect of population displacement, of lack of opportunity, 2.2 million children are still not attending school on a regular basis here in South Sudan. So all of those things are going to have a negative impact on the well-being, both physical and emotional, of children. Those feelings can, as a child grows into adolescence and into early adulthood, those feelings of frustration, of loss, of trauma, things they've experienced during their childhood, exposure to violence and war, can lead to the development of long-term mental health problems. All of the indicators are here for a very high degree of severe mental health within the population. And it's particularly key that we address this here in South Sudan because we have a very young population here.
What advice will you give people who live in denial? You know, you see possibly someone clearly have going through stress or trauma or depression, but they don't want to come out. They deny that they have a problem. You know, as someone who is close to them, what can you do? What can I do?
I think sometimes you have to take a patient approach. There's nothing more frustrating than seeing one of your loved ones unwell in any shape or form, whether it's a mental illness or a physical illness, and they're coming back at you and saying, I'm okay, there's nothing wrong with me. That can be very frustrating. And I think it's a question of being there, being available, and then keeping the conversation going with the person, and always encourage them, always supporting them, so that they do get to the point where they will accept they need help. It's very common with people with mental health problems that in the first phase of the illness, what we would call a lack of insight. People don't have an awareness that they have an illness. They don't have an understanding. Everything might seem normal to them, but everyone around them thinks their behavior is abnormal. Mm-hmm. So it's a question of not walking away from that person. That's the best thing that you can do.
Right. If you could give parents and community leaders one or two tips about how to help the young manage their mental health, what would it be?
I think children and young people need an opportunity to be able to express themselves. There should be opportunities for children and young people to receive whatever support they need, particularly those who've been exposed to some of the extreme things that have happened during the conflict here. Just because time may have passed since an incident doesn't necessarily mean that it's less than fresh in the mind of the person who's experienced it. So something that happened 10 years ago, causing psychological trauma, it could be in the mind of the victim as if it happened today or yesterday. So time in itself does not necessarily heal. So the advice to parents, to community leaders, and also to professionals like teachers, to health workers, is to exercise some patience, is to have keep an eye on the children who are more vulnerable within your community. The child who sits in the corner crying, not playing with others, the child who is always angry and aggressive, they're not behaving that way because they're bad. They're not behaving that way because they're cursed. They're behaving that way because something is troubling their mind, something is disturbing them. So give that child some attention rather than, again, telling them to go away or punishing them. And I think also the messages around creating a environment of hope here in South Sudan. And hope comes through change, hope comes through development, hope comes through things like education as well. If children see that there's an opportunity, that there's a chance to develop themselves, there's a chance to learn, there's a chance to grow, then that all adds to better mental health outcomes.
Yes, and I want to give you some example. I don't know if you're familiar with this here in South Sudan, but it is something that is going on. When someone develops some mental health problems, most often people say he was or she was bewitched.
Mm.
You know, they take it like, okay, there's some traditional healer somewhere who should be able to go and address this issue, or they do some rituals and the rest. Mental health and being bewitched, is there any relationship whatsoever, as an expert who have worked in different places and in South Sudan as well?
Okay, that's a very common question, and one I've been asked many, many times over the years. I've worked in mental health programs in Africa for more than 20 years, and one thing that's very clear to me is the sort of common beliefs around witchcraft, curses, demons, possession, and that if somebody is behaving in a disturbed manner, it's because somebody has put a curse on them or because they've been possessed by evil spirits. I'm not going to pretend that I understand the spiritual world, because I'm a mortal man and I don't. What I do know is that where there's an illness, there's an explanation. There's a cause. With mental illnesses, they can be caused by social factors. They can be caused by problems within the family home. They can be caused by complications from a physical illness leading to brain damage. Mm-hmm. So what I would encourage people to do is to actually work through the explanations as to why people are feeling the way that they're feeling. And normally you will come to a sort of logical conclusion. It could be psychological trauma. It could be a brain injury resultant from malaria. Working on a program many years ago in West Africa, there was a very high incidence of epilepsy in a particular community. And what we were able to establish is that there wasn't a demonic curse placed on that community, which is a belief that was held by some within that location. But in actual fact, it was high incidence of malaria whilst women were pregnant, which caused brain damage to the unborn child, which led to the high incidence of malaria. So then it was a question of actually, okay, well, how can we make sure that the malaria incidence goes down so that this is not happening? So there's a logical explanation. What I would say, because people sometimes will say this is nothing to do with medicine, this is all about the spiritual. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are many studies which have been shown that traditional healers in many African countries, some not very far from here in South Sudan, that traditional healers actually classify mental health conditions, different mental health conditions like mania, like depression, in a very similar way to a psychologist or a psychiatrist in Europe. The difference is the explanation. The difference is what causes the illness. We classify the illness in a similar way. We don't necessarily attribute the cause in the similar way. But if you can bring those two together, and I have seen programs where traditional healers and psychologists and other mental health professionals have actually aligned and worked together and actually done something very effective, because it takes on board the cultural context of the person.
Sean, anything you'd like to add?
I think the most important message is that people should seek help if they need help with their mental health. But most importantly, if there is someone in your family, if there is someone in your community who has a mental health problem, please do not ignore them. Please do not leave them to wander the street hungry, dressed in rags. Take them in, help them, support them.